It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're gonna sell it, we're gonna tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're gonna try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, you're on Swap Shop again. All right, this is Glenn Coble, and we kind of switch gears here. We're going to have a Swap Shop. We're going to kind of stick our toe in the water and see how it feels. We've been kind of backpedaling it for the last few months just because of the coronavirus, and I think we should continue to be very aware of the dangers of that, and make sure that if you have something to sell, we will put it on, or if you have like a garage sale, we will be glad to put it on. But make sure if you're going to sell things to people that are going to come to your door, make sure that you you pay attention to the rules that as they've been set forward by our government to keep your distance, keep a mask on, make sure you wash your hands for over, 20 seconds or 30 seconds after touching anything other than, you know, around your house. So be careful. That's all we can ask. What your tolerance is. If you aren't terribly worried, that's okay, I guess. But make sure that you have empathy for other people. I personally, when I go to the grocery store, I do get annoyed when I see people. And I noticed that this yesterday when I went. I go once a week now. It used to be two or three times a week, but once a week. And I try to go to at a time when I don't think there are going to be people there. But I get annoyed when people are running around. And I noticed more of it going on yesterday. With no face masks and no regard for staying clear of me. I had one situation, it wasn't yesterday, it was a week or two ago, where I really felt like spraying the person that got with, he came right up, almost touched me, and I almost sprayed him with my disinfectant spray. That might have started a fight, and then I'd really messed up my distancing. But anyway, be careful, all right? It's still going on. As a matter of fact, it's starting to go back up again. And I have no doubts that that some of these protests that we're having right now can lead to that. I was involved in the protest last week. But if you ever see pictures of where I was standing, it looks like I had really bad body odor. I stood so far away from other people holding my little sign. But I stood far enough away that I didn't worry. And I'm going to go to this one coming up on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the City Hall. I'm going to go to that one, too, and have a different sign, I think. It's mainly to make people aware of what I believe we are not doing right. And I wore my Superman shirt today, which was given to me by my grandchildren. I don't really believe I'm Superman. I do wear glasses, so I could be Clark Kent, but I'm not Superman. But I wanted to make myself feel stronger and better, so I wore my Superman shirt today. We're going to talk about, if you want to call in and sell some of your tchotchkes or talk about a garage sale that you might be having, the number here is 763-383-9944. Let me give that to you one more time, okay? You got that pencil ready? All right, 740-383-9944. Okay. If you forget, the last four digits are WWGH, all right? Makes it easy. All right, well, I'm going to go over the 12 protests that changed history during this hour. Now, I didn't select these 12. They were selected by a book, and I'm not going to give them free pub on that, but they were selected as the 12 protests that changed history. And they're not just protests of the United States. They are protests throughout the world. The one that I think they obviously left off was the protest of, well, a couple of them, both Muhammad and also Christ, when they came to earth. And their protests, though, were not what you would call protests. They were just statements of right and wrong. But anyway, the protests, you know, they kind of unite people in their own way. They raise the awareness of things that are going on. The one that's going on right now is George, the wrongful death of George Floyd, which I'm not going to get into all of it. You saw it, and I can't get back into it because it's just too horrendous. I believe that a lot of the protests are asking for a little bit better training of our police forces, or maybe better vetting of our police, the people that we selected police as police officers. I'm certain that there are very sharp minds in the psychology world that could find out which people, if you're going to hire people to be policemen, which ones can handle the stress. And you know there's a lot of stress if you're a policeman. But there got to be some people that handle it better, handle it with a more congenial heart. And I think we need to work on that. But anyway, the protests that we've had really have shown incredible power of the ordinary people, to the point that our president, and I'm not sure he wants to be a president. It seems to me that he wants to be a dictator, but that's another story. And I'm sorry, that's my progressive life story. The obvious power of the people came out at that when it was very clear that there was a lot of anger brought on by that, you know, the holding up of the Bible and walking and forcing people off the streets before the curfew is up and that sort of thing. And you know, it's kind of interesting, though, for probably the last 4 days, the protests have been getting softer, I will say, less and less looting. Now, nobody likes looting. There are people, I'm sure, that get a thrill out of breaking into a window and going stealing stuff, but that's not what the majority of the protesters, not even close, less than 0.1% of the protesters are doing that sort of thing. And I'm making that number up. It might be even way less than that. But anyway, it does. These protests do demonstrate the incredible power of the ordinary person. They give a voice to us. You know, those of us that have very little voices. I'm lucky. I have a radio show that I can talk. Whether anybody's listening or not, I can say what I think. That's kind of why I ran for office, is so that I could say what I thought. I knew that as a Democrat in the state of Ohio, I didn't have much of a chance. But I also knew that I had no chance if I didn't say anything and if I didn't do anything. So that's kind of why I did that. Anyway, the number one protest that changed the history of the world, actually, they indicate, was the Boston Tea Party. kind of interesting. Now, I listened to somebody talking about the Boston Tea Party as the mother of all American protests. And in fact, they were doing looting right there. They took tea off of the ships and they threw it into the ocean. Tea was very valuable at the time, and they threw it into the ocean. That's looting. I bet some of them even stuck it in their pocket, but we don't know that. We didn't have video cameras going. The Tea Party actually was back when we were 13 colonies. And they were protesting against the tax on the imported goods like paper and tea and paint. And apparently it was very high, the taxes on those things. And the colonists were protesting that tax. And they dumped 340 crates of tea into the harbor. I wonder what the harbor tasted like the next day. But anyway, that protest sparked the American Revolution. One of the things that concerns me about where we are right now, and again, I'm hearkening back to my other show called Progressive Life, but one of the things that concerns me is that we are at the edge of sparking another revolution. And the revolution may come about because we have authorities that have no... Right now, there are a lot of authorities that have no respect for our Constitution, our laws, our rules that have been set forth in common. And everybody knows what the rules are, but we don't have them written down, which is one of the things that I think we're going to have to do. I think we're going to have to make lots of more rules that are going to force presidents to abide by them. Now, I'm not sure this particular president would abide by them anyway. He seems not to care about the laws. I mean, anybody that can tell his people ignore a subpoena obviously doesn't care about that law. Anyway, I'll get off of that. Number two protest, the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom back in 1963. You'll remember that. That was the march led by Martin Luther King. It was the one where he did the I Have a Dream speech. That was back in, and I think it was, there were about 200,000 people that came to that march. And the speeches, actually, they didn't march while the speech was going on. They stood by the Lincoln Memorial, if I recall correctly. Yes, that was right. And they were protesting much like we, and that was back in 63. They were protesting then. I was a junior in high school. They were protesting then what we're protesting right now, which is the lack of rights that our African-American brothers and sisters have, the lack of. Martin Luther King, actually, I think, believe he met with President Kennedy at the time to talk about new legislation and remedies for all the things that were going on. If you have a legislative body, well, much like our Senate right now, that will do whatever the president says, we might as well have a king, because we have no control over that office. And I think that's why both the Senate and the Congress legislation were set up to be a watchdog over the executive office. Everything goes in circles in our government. We have the legislature, we have the executive, and we have the judicial, and they all can look over the shoulder of the other and supposedly have some control. But if you have a executive branch that takes all the takes over the control of the judicial by naming a person that'll do what he wants, everything he wants, and then naming a judges that are along that will do whatever the executive leader believes. You kind of soften any strength you have as a people. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, you're kind of losing your say over your government. And I think, well, we have 151 days to election. As long as the election is held legitimately and not not corrupted by the corruption that seems to be running rampant right now in our government, if we can have a legitimate election where everybody gets to vote and everybody gets to say what they believe, we will probably correct some of these problems. That march on Washington was credited with building support for the passage of the Civil Rights Act. It was credited with helping get the Voting Rights Act of 1965 passed. So it did a lot. It may not have been fulfilled. It may not have been taken to its natural end yet, but it did do a lot, and it is getting a lot done. Now, before that, think of this as, well, this is a very similar protest. The Women's Suffrage Parade. Back in 1913, my mother was 1 year old. No, my mother was 3 years old at that time. 8,000 marchers, and they had to be pretty brave because most of them, I would say, were women. And back then, there were very few laws that protected. Do you know the Equal Rights Amendment has not been approved yet? Oh, my. Anyway, I think they have the 35 states that they need, but they've gone past the deadline, so I'm not sure where we stand on that. Anyway, 8,000 marchers. We didn't have any laws to protect them from being beaten up when they went home to their husbands. Anyway, they marched. They had 20 floats, and they had mounted brigades, and they entered Washington, D.C., on the day before Wilson Woodrow Wilson's inauguration, and they were fighting for the right to vote. We take that as a common right anymore. However, if you happen to be African American, you're not so sure, especially in Georgia, you're not so sure whether you have the right to vote. If you happen to be an American, a Native American, you have lots of questions. That parade actually did start enough of a movement that we did through 7 more years of hard work. The 19th Amendment was passed in 1920. And that finally gave the women the right to vote. Now, we had been a nation since the late 1700s, and it took that long for women to get to vote, even though we had terms in our Constitution that said all men are created equal. I guess that's because it said all men are created equal, and women weren't considered, I guess, human. You know, even a slave was worth 3/5 of a man, whereas women didn't even have that right. The next most important, as this particular book deems it, the most important demonstrations happened between 1982 and 1989, and they were called the Monday demonstrations. And they had in 1982, a German pastor, he started a weekly prayer service to spread the message of what was going on during the Cold War and pray against it. And people started to show up at sanctuaries throughout the German Republic. And it grew into thousands of people, even though the German officials, they had blockaded the streets, much like our president has done recently, around the church where they were being held. And right before the wall came down, and you may say that this led to that, around 300,000 peaceful protesters gathered on a Monday in late October of 1989. And it was only 1 week, and the British and the Berlin Wall was knocked down. And we all know what that led to, a much more open Russian government, and which seems to be tightening back up again, unfortunately. And I am sad to say, I believe that the American government is taking note of that and kind of wishing they could do that. Anyway, the next thing, there was the temperance movement. And that ran from the 1800s all the way into 1920. And you know, you remember what the temperance movement was. They actually wanted us to, the entire country, to stop consuming alcohol. I guess it was kind of based on the Christian ideals of most of the people that lived in the United States at the time. Completely ignoring the separation of church and state. But anyway, that's what it was started for. Lots of organizations lobbied to have the 18th Amendment passed in January of 1920. Prohibition, boy, my mouth is really not working, lasted for about 23 years. Led to a lot of bloodshed, a lot of gangster wars in my old home stomping grounds. I used to eat lunch at the seminary restaurant right across from the Bijou Theater where John Dillinger was gunned down. Anyway, little did I know that he was going to be buried less than 100 feet away from my mother and father. Prohibition lasted the 23 years, and eventually, the 18th Amendment was repealed by the 21st Amendment in 1933, which did away with the temperance movement. There is still a temperance movement, but it's not in law. All right, the Gandhi's Salt March was in 1930. Was the sixth most influential protest that was done. India was still under oppressive control, but you know, the British back in 1930 were over India. And the Indians were prohibited from making or selling salt, which happened to be a staple in the Indian diet, as if it weren't a staple in the American diet. Under the Salt Act, they were instead forced to buy at very high prices from British people. That seems to be a common cause for the background of lots of this protest. Rich and powerful people tend to want it their way so they can continue to be richer and more powerful. And the common man stands up on his hind legs and says, "You can't do this anymore." And that's exactly what happened in India. Mohandas Gandhi decided to march with about a dozen people, and they went to the coast to make sea salt. And they did it in a nonviolent way to defy the British and release India from their control. And that was breaking the law, apparently. Tens of thousands of people ended up joining his march. Under Gandhi's guidance, India was able to break free from British rule in 1947. The March in Washington for lesbian, gay, and bi equal rights and liberation was the seventh most influential protest. And it happened in 1993. Let me drop in this word from our sponsor. You are listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio. If you do have something to sell, and I understand, we're not out from underneath the shadow of the COVID-19. But if you do have something to sell, call us at 740-383-9944. Anyway, let's continue on that march in Washington for the lesbian, gay, and equal rights, bi equal rights liberation. There were over 800,000 people that marched in the National Mall for the rights of LGBTQ community. They were just seeking anti-discriminatory laws that would protect all citizens from being discriminated based on their sexual identity. AIDS was running very strong at the time, and they were looking for funding for AIDS research. It got some social recognition for the LGBTQ community, and since then we've had same-sex marriage has been legalized, and great strides have been made in regards to the study and finding the cures of HIV/AIDS. So that was the seventh most influential march in man. Eighth. Well, this one I can tell you a lot about because being a Methodist minister's son, I was steeped in the eighth one. The Protestant Reformation. And it happened. I didn't realize it went on as long as it did, but it went from 1517 to 1685. That is really a long time. I thought it was only during Martin Luther's lifetime. But the Protestant Revolution was a reminder that all it takes is one spark, one little tiny thing of fire to get something going. Martin Luther was mainly credited for being the spark that started the Protestant Revolution. It really upended the Catholic dominance of religion. And the Catholics at the time were, it had become slightly corrupt, let's put it that way, being as clear, as non-offensive as possible. The indulgences that were being sold were basically an embarrassment to the Catholic religion. Martin Luther King, he put up 95 theses on the wall on the door of the church, which explained his grievances in 95 different things. One of which I believe was those you could buy your way out of hell and stuff like that. Anyway, that was huge. There were a lot of people that died for that right. They were horrible ways of dying during the Reformation. Lots of people were thrown into dungeons and burned at the stake and lots of things like that. And it was a truly bloody protest. If you were a minister's kid, you learned an awful lot about that in Sunday school, okay? The ninth was the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire Protest, which is one that I had never heard of, and I'm really going to have to read this to you because I really don't remember this. it didn't happen in my lifetime, but I don't remember reading about this. 146 workers were killed by a fire in an unsafe factory. At the time, workers often dealt with extremely hazardous working conditions, which they're doing again, by the way, especially with this COVID-19. The tragedy prompted a march on New York's Fifth Avenue of nearly 80,000 people. That was a lot of people back in 1911. This march helped to pass new laws to ensure workplace safety and help growing union movement. And our unions have really diminished recently, and there's quite a bit of interest in churning them back up. We tend to go in cycles, don't we, here in the United States, up and down and up and down. This eventually led to the law that we still use today, like the minimum wage requirements and the right to collectively bargain as a union, both of which, well, the minimum wage requirements have not been raised very much. Some states have, but there are still states, and I think Ohio is one of them, that the minimum wage hasn't been raised very much at all in a long time. The collective bargaining for unions, that's been fought tooth and nail at every street corner. Anyway, you're listening to WWGH here on 107.1, and we're going to take a little break here shortly, and then we'll come back and finish up with the last three of those movements protests have instigated. And you're listening, by the way. My name is Glenn Coble, and thanks for tuning us on. We'll be back next week with more stuff on Wednesday and Thursday, and we're kind of playing it by ear right now because of the passing of our friend and loved one, Charlie Evers. I'm not sure if I missed out on that. we're not hearing the commercial that I thought would pop in right now. So let me see if I've done something wrong. I don't think so. Anyway, let's go on. We'll go on. Apparently, I missed the break there. The abolitionist movement, 1830 to 1865. The goal of the abolition movement was to end slavery and racial discrimination. It took off in 1830s and persisted for nearly 40 years. The abolitionists faced constant resistance and opposition from the government, the states, their fellow citizens. It actually grew into what we now call the Civil War. We all know what the Civil War was, but the abolitionists were a braver person than I would have been. They were hated by their neighbors, and it was difficult work, as we all know from our President Lincoln, who eventually died because of his stances the hatred of people around him. In 1965, the 13th Amendment was passed to abolish slavery. I'm not sorry, it was 1865. 13th Amendment was passed to abolish slavery. And that came at the end, as we all know, of the Civil War. Actually, it wasn't quite over when that came about, I don't believe. The abolitionists, their movement lasted for 35 years to get to that point. And then we kind of came and went with that. The 13th Amendment was kind of strengthened for a while and then weakened terribly for a while. rules were made to circumvent the rules that gave our slave citizens freedom. For a while, there were laws that were made against those rules. Hang on, we have a phone call. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Good. I'm enjoying the program it's on right now.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
What if can you're running for president, I'll vote for you. I'll be the first one to stand in line and vote for you.
Well, did you vote for me when I ran for state representative?
No, I couldn't then. I don't think I lived in Marion.
Oh, okay.
I had a telephone call. I missed the first question. What was the answer about the women in their shoes? Can you give me that answer,
please?
Oh,
yes. The law that was passed in the state of Ohio was that women could not wear patent leather shoes. And I'm going to let you use your imagination of why.
Patent leather shoes. The only pair I had was high heels, and I bought them because I was dating a guy who was 6'3".
Oh, my.
I couldn't wear anything but high heels. I enjoy your program. It's very unique.
Thank you.
Well, good work.
I hope it's not so unique that people are turning me off, but thank you very much.
Today. I hope I remember it because I'm 90 years old. I got to remember some of this stuff.
Oh, you don't sound like you're 90 years old.
Well, I am.
Well, congratulations. Let's make another 20 years onto that, all right?
I don't think I will, but thank you anyway.
I hear you.
Keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you.
Enjoy your program.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
What a nice call. I don't get... I don't really encourage calls just because I don't know how to answer calls like that. It's embarrassing, but it's also very sweet of her to call and say things like that. Right now we're talking about the anti-war movement, we're talking about the abolitionist movement. The next one on the list of things was the anti-war movement. And I know a lot more about the anti-war movement. I like this lady that just called in, grew up in the 50s, 60s, that era. So we knew about the anti-war movement. And I think I've told this story more times than I should. But in 1968, I was going to my draft physical. they had not yet given us numbers. I think that came about in 71. But in 68, we were pretty sure that we had a chance of getting drafted. I went to my draft physical because we had been told, the folk trio I sang with, we had been told that if we all got through the draft physical and finished the audition and won the audition, that we would sing with the United States Army Field Band, which we knew would pretty much keep us out of harm's way most of the time. And so I was there for my draft physical and came outside in 1968. It was in Chicago, came outside, and there were all sorts of people asking if I wanted to join in the war, the fight against the Vietnam War. So I followed them down to Grant Park, and there were about 15,000 people. There were about 15,000 cops surrounding the 15,000 people, and I happened to get called. I happened to get involved in it. Let's just put it that way. That movement went from 1967, which was a year before I got involved, through 1972, which, by the way, was the year I got out of the Army. people wondered, really, if it was an actual movement. It did end up helping us get out of Vietnam. I'm not sure how much it positively reinforcement it did, but what it did is it made it so negative and so uncomfortable to be there that our presidents, there was more than one, presidents found that they must find a way to get out of Vietnam. And there were things like the Pentagon Papers that the press got a hold of. One of the good things about our press, I don't care what anybody says, especially our president, the press is not the enemy of the people. The press is the only thing that keeps our people informed. And I don't care what press you're listening to, even if you're listening to press that if it's real press, if they're telling the truth, it's a way for you to open your brain. It's a way for you to stand for something. Now, like this lady that just called in and myself, I know that my days are numbered, but that makes it easier to be able to stand for something. And I think we all must. All of us old folks need to get out there and tell our young folks, stand for something. If you stand for nothing other than that you love your country, that's good enough. Stand for something. Don't let people run over you. Don't let people lie to you. And only you can be the arbiter of the truth or the lies, because only you know what you honestly believe. And I think most people know what is the truth and what is not the truth. No matter how much propaganda is thrown at you, question everything and try to learn what truth is in each case. We're all going to be wrong at some times. Today I was wrong about Ulysses S. Grant being the vice president that took over for Lincoln. We're all going to have our moments where we're wrong, but use your critical mind to think and listen and move forward, and not for yourself. Especially this lady caller that just called in and myself, we're of the age where we're not doing this for us. We're doing this for our grandkids. We're doing this for our children. We're doing this for our great-grandchildren. I don't want my great-grandchild having less of a country than we live in right now. All right? Okay. Anyway, that's kind of what the anti-war movement was all about. You know, we talk about free love and all that sort of thing. That was kind of one of the sidelights of the anti-war movement, kind of brought about by the rock concerts and stuff like that that were so, quote-unquote, wild. a lot of that is blown out of reality. But anyway, and I'm not going to get into that. What I did as a youth is going to stay there. All right, and the last thing, and this may be where we're headed, who knows? The last thing, matter of fact, I was frightened this morning when I was listening to the Talking Heads, thinking that maybe this is exactly where we're headed. In 1789, the 12th most influential movement was the storming of the Bastille in France. It was a very violent, I mean very violent protest in world history. It occurred in July of 1789. And the people in France were tired of being ruled by a harsh monarchy. That's one of the things I'm fighting right now. I don't believe America should become a monarchy, which is kind of where our current administration is, I believe, trying to take us by cutting down the right to vote, by giving African Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans less power to govern themselves. Anyway, The French people in 1789 got tired of being ruled by a harsh monarchy. And the harsh monarchy, all they wanted to do is exactly what our leadership seems to want to do right now, is make rich people richer and powerful people more powerful. And eventually, the French people started cutting their heads off. I don't agree with that, but I'll tell you what, I can sympathize with the feeling. They started cutting off the monarchies and the powerful people's heads, and they went through an awful long time. I think there were 3 French revolutions. It never quite got settled until after the 3rd one. there were violent battles that ensued, and they ended up murdering the governor of Bastille. And this attack began the French Revolution, the first French Revolution, which ultimately led to the replacement of the monarchy, which to a republic government, not republican, republic government. And the French still celebrate Bastille Day on July 14th. Anyway, that's kind of our swap shop for the day. Had nothing to do with swap shop, did it? Hey, thanks for the calls. We had a couple, three calls there. I appreciate it. Maybe we'll get to a point where we can all go outside and celebrate by having more garage sales and selling our tchotchkes and being friendly like we are a friendly people. And I have a lot of friends that disagree with me politically, but we still love each other. So that's kind of where we need to get back to. But this COVID-19 virus is not helping us one tiny bit. We got about 30 seconds left, and I remind you, you're listening to Glenn Coble. We're on Swap Shop right now, kind of turned into my other show, which is A Progressive Life. Anyway, I hope you will join me next week on Wednesday and Thursday. Hopefully, I'll have Reverend Kiger on Thursday sometime, and we'll talk about the state of religion in our wonderful nation. Glenn Coble signing off, and hope you have a great day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion grocery store, Smith Cardinal, Bob Smith.
Well, at the height of, you know, sealing things and everything, the height of one time, well, two times is a big story. This, we had been into teaching us how to know how to recognize somebody stealing. So this woman came up.